I just thought I'd take two or three verses of scripture tonight. The setting sail in a good old gospel ship, setting sail this new year. You know, we are already off to a running start. You know, months are not just but 2 weeks long now. It was long, but not only 2 weeks long. We already ended this month. Setting sail in this good old gospel ship. You know, life, as I said last week, you know, is like a ship on the ocean. As I told you last week, you know, the map makers, when they first started sailing the uncharted waters of the world, they had to go as far as they had it was known, and they'd write on their maps unknown, danger, serpents. Well, that's the way sea of life is. You know, we don't know really what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this coming year. But we know that Jesus Christ is in charge. And if you're in Jesus Christ and life is like a ship on the ocean, and I'm going to tell you, we are in the ark. We are in the ark, and that ark is Jesus Christ. And just as that ark landed safely, all the storm and all the wind and all the rain, that old ark that Noah was in and his family, it landed safely. All the judgment, the world was against it, just like it is for us. We are in the ark of safety, and let the wind blow, let the storm rage, let the rain come, because we are in safety in the ark. And the ark is going to bring us safely through. There's some things that we have to do. In the ark, well, I told you last week, as you watch these ships, these naval ships, as they set for a destination, they leave port, they are self-contained. They take everything they need on those ships. And most of you have been on vacation on a cruise ship. You don't have to take anything. Everything is furnished. And it makes me think of an old boy who went on his cruise, you know, and he had a jar of peanut butter and crackers, but he left his money at the house. And Lord of mercy, he got hungry, and he'd go to his cabin, he'd eat a cracker and eat a little bit of peanut butter. About the fourth day, he was about to starve to death, and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And he was talking to one of the people on board. He says, "I'm so hungry, I don't know what to do, and I'm about to run out of crackers and peanut butter." And the man says, "You mean to tell me you don't know that you paid the price for this cruise and all this good food is furnished? You don't have to pay a dime for it?" You know, that's the way some of us are. You know, Jesus Christ has paid the price for us to go to heaven. He's paid a price for all salvation. And I tell you, you don't have to eat peanut butter and cookies, I'm telling you, because he has furnished us everything we need on this life voyage. We're self-contained in Jesus. We don't need anything. He's got everything that we need. But there's some things that we need to do. Jesus Christ is self-contained. As we set sail into the unknown, he wants us to set sail with power and with faith and with joy and with peace and with victory into this new year, the ship of life that we're on, the sea of life. And let the winds blow, let the currents pull us, whatever, the waves. But you see, we're on uncharted sea. So let's read these verses of scripture for just a moment tonight. It says there in verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels will stand fast and every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him?" Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings of life today and allow us to live, Lord, the breath that you give us. And Father, for bringing us to another close and just pulling, Lord, down, Lord, the darkness upon us this hour, the curtains, oh God, of night. And we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for all the great blessings that you bless us with, and for this particular night, God, that we're here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, worshiping you, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for all the great blessings that you have blessed us with down to this hour, especially those we have on our prayer list and those we have in our prayer box that we have prayed for, and all the things this day. In the name of Jesus, we do humbly pray and thank you in his precious name. Amen. From these verses of scriptures, it's like an old sea marine is trying to describe life's journey. He's been on the sea a long time now, and it seemed like he's writing his experience. I believe Brother Paul wrote this, but I don't know for sure, but I believe he did. But anyway, his take from an experience of a marine bringing a ship into harbor. this old ship captain is bringing this ship in the harbor. And each and every one of us has a harbor to enter into. As you place yourself in this ship of Jesus Christ by faith, and we knowing that the ship of life is self-contained, but the harbor is still, we need to hit that harbor. And we will, you know, salvation, you know, we know it's complete. We get to the harbor, but don't run past it. Don't wind up on the rocks. If we're not careful, a lot of times that you see a lot of ships, they weren't real careful. That was a hard part of navigating, is getting into the harbor, and it'll wind up on the rocks. Lord, to give more earnest heed, that is, bring the ship into the harbor, you know, is very, very difficult, and it's very dangerous. See, a ship never just drifts into harbor. Now, you are the ship now, on the ship of salvation, but a ship never drifts in the harbor, just drift along in life. It takes a skillful part, you know, of being a sea pilot. And the skillful part is bringing this ship into harbor. And it says there in verse 1 again, least at any time we should let them slip. And that word slip means to drift away. Don't end up crushed on the rocks. Dangerous, dangerous to be drifting along. And life also, and also the aimless of life. And this new year we're starting into, the worst thing could probably happen to us, we just drift along. We just kind of drift along in life. But the best thing that we can do, and the best thing that happened to us, is for us to find a course and chart that course, you know, on God's harbor, the point and the destination we're going to. You know, Sonny, you know, I told you, what are you doing for Jesus Christ? What really are you doing? What goal have you set, you know, for Jesus Christ's coming year? Do you have a goal? I know I need some goals. I need to set goals. Me and Brother Marshall are the leader of this church, and we need to set goals for this church. And you need to set goals for your life, and we need to have goals for your family, and all different type of goals. So you need to decide a fixed direction in your life. And that fixed direction, each and every one of us know it should be that harbor that I'm talking about. You don't have to decide to drift. Did you know that? You don't have to just decide to drift along. You will drift unless you decide not to drift. That's the danger. Unless you have an anchor. And that anchor is in Jesus Christ. Anchor is the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what the big problem we're having in our country this day is because people have no anchor. They don't have an anchor. And you see, it's the times of life, and it blows them away. Blows them around. They don't have no anchor. You wonder what happened to our younger generation. They don't have any anchor. You see, we got God out of everything. I mean, we nearly about got out of the church. And certainly, you know, we got God about out of everything now. No God. And we wonder why we drift along. Well, any boat's going to drift or any ship's going to drift if it don't have an anchor. I mean, the anchor's the Word of God in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, we certainly need the Word of God. And we need to be anchored to Jesus Christ. Drifting is a determined fact. I'm going to tell you, you're going to drift. I'm going to tell you, that's just a determined fact in your life, you're going to drift. Well, what causes drifting? Well, you know, as a sea of life, you got these fishermen now. You know, some of y'all are fishermen, like old Cotton Sap back there. He don't hear a word I'm saying. He's got his earphones turned down. But anyway, he knows he's been a fishing. And you know what? He knows what drifting's all about as he fishes. Current causes you to drift. Tide causes you to drift. Winds cause you to drift. The wind of worldliness causes you to drift. And the wind of worldliness has caused this country to drift because they have no anchor in God, and they're drifting away, aimless in life, have no destination. They have no anchor. But I'm going to tell you, the same thing can happen to a person. The same thing can happen to a family. Many a family this day has no foundation. They have no anchor. And the winds there of worldliness is just drifting them along in this world. As I said, that's the problem with our country. But you see also the tide of circumstances. All the circumstances of life is going to come. The winds of the world is going to blow against us. And the, you know, the tide of circumstances is going to face every one of us. There are going to be some circumstances in your life that's going to cause you to drift if you're not very careful. But also just the current of this old nature that we have. Just the current, just natural of the old nature. You see, there are natural currents in the ocean. They just natural currents. If you get in one of these natural currents, you're going to just drift and drift and follow that current. It's just natural for us to do that. I tell you, I have a fallen nature right on. I didn't get rid of that fallen nature when I got saved. You see, there's a war in each and every one of us. And we have that fallen nature, and there's a war there. But I tell you, if you're not very careful, if you don't put a destination, you know, the currents of that old fallen nation, you just kind of drift along the sea of life. There's a constant pull from God, from away from God, because it's just natural for us to do. You ever heard that song, Upon the Wander? Come there, fountain of ever blessing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to wander and leave the one of I love. We're just prone to do that. Robert Robinson wrote that. He was born in 1735. Now, I like these old hymns because I'll tell you, they all have a good story, not a story, but just a good testimony. Excuse me. He was a young man of 17 years old, like a lot of young people today. And, you know, he got with the wrong crowd and the wrong gang, and he was headed down the wrong road. And he lived in Kingsburg, England, I believe. And he heard about a man preaching, and this man's name was George Whitfield. And he said, well, we just going to go over there and make fun of that old man in Old Methodist Church. And so him and his gang went in there, but he didn't know the power of God was upon old George Whitfield. And I tell you what, the power of God fell on him. And he went in there to make fun of the old man. But you see what? When he come back out, he come out as a new person. He come out and he was saved. And after that, he was called to preach. He preached in a big Baptist church in England. He wrote a lot of books and the hymns. And that hymn is in our hymn book that he wrote, you know, Come There, Ever Fountain of Blessing, I believe the name of it. You see, because, you see, he found out that there was something that caused him to wander away from God. And he wrote that song, as you just wander away from God. It's just our old natural to do that. You know, gravity. You know what gravity is? It makes these muscles flag. You know that? It makes us droop a little bit. You all know, y'all got that? You know, we just flat. You know, it just pull down. Well, that's the gravity pull. But guess what? There's an old nature pull, the same way to pull you away from God. Has a pull in you all the time. Just as this gravity is pulling us down, there's an old nature. I'm going to tell you, the gravity of life, this old nature to pull us away from God. It's a constant pull. Gravity's a constant pull on us all the time. Well, I tell you, this old nature is a constant pull on us all the time. Also, the circumstances, you know, we have. And, you know, the currents there of carnality. But you see, drifting is a definite fact. You're going to have it. It's going to be deceptive. It's definite. And you know what? It's deceptive. You know, you may not know it, but you're in a boat and you just be out there fishing. You know, you start drifting and drifting and drifting. And you see, before long, you'll be so far, you don't, how did I get way out here? In this drifting, you see, and we start drifting. There's no alarm will go off. There's no bells going to be ringing. You see, you just be drifting slowly and slowly. There'll be no warning. You're just drifting and drifting and drifting. The danger, you're getting further and further away from God, and you're getting further and further away from that point in the harbor. A person, family, a church, and a nation. We ought to give, you know, ought to give earnestly heed, lest we let this slip and we drift from the point of the harbor. Another man, William Perry, that I was reading, his explorer, he was exploring an old-timey way back in the olden days, and they were exploring the Arctic, you know, the North Pole, and he was exploring a map and mapping out to go towards the North Pole, and he took his measurement by the stars, and man, they'd travel day by day, and each day he'd take his measurement by the stars, he's going towards the North Pole, and he'd take his measurement by the stars, and he got to charting and got to figuring it, and every day he was going towards the North Pole, but he's getting further away from the North Pole. And that took him a while to figure out what was wrong. He was on an ice pad, and the ice pad was floating south, and he was walking north, and the further he walked north, the further he got south. And you know what? A lot of people's like that. They didn't know it. They don't know it. They think they're going north, and they're going south all the time. They're just drifting. And it's very dangerous to think about that. You know, that society, that's what society is today. They think they're going in the right direction. I tell you, to prove it, look what we got sitting in the White House. That would be proof enough. They think they're going in the right direction, but they ain't. They're going in the wrong direction. That's most of the people in our country. In the same way, they don't realize what's happening. Drifting is a very dangerous, dangerous fact also. Did y'all know that? I've had the pleasure and an opportunity to go to Niagara Falls. I've been to Niagara Falls and walked right up to where that water just pouring over there. And you can just feel as you get close to it, just make your clothes just kind of stand off from them. Kind of a chilling thing, I'm telling you. Of course, they got iron bars, and I don't know, Carl remembers that when he was little. I don't even think Craig was born yet, but Carl and David was up with another family, and you know, and I held the arms, and I believe I mashed. They couldn't open their hands. I had them squeeze the heart. I wanted them to fall over there, you know. They told us several times, went to that museum they have there, and the people, there's a lot of people who went over that fall. And you see it even today, you know, they'd be out there, they'd be fishing in that Niagara River. And they'd just be fishing, just coast along, and directly, you know what happened to them? No alarms off, no nothing. But after a while, they have done reached too far. And then there's no way. The motor's not strong enough. They can't paddle back. And they're going over unless somebody saves them with a helicopter nowadays. And a lot of people went over there just by drifting along. They didn't mean to. A lot of them went to their death. And they landed up on the rocks below because they were just drifting along. I'm going to tell you what. Drifting is a very dangerous factor. And I'm going to tell you the same thing in a Christian life. It's a very, very, very dangerous factor. Your soul never drifts towards God. Did y'all know that? Your soul never, never, never drifts towards God. It's always from God. And the longer you delay before you correct your drifting, the further that you will drift. You never drift towards God. You always drift away from God. Second thing, you know, we decide a fixed direction, and you know what? But we also keep from drifting spiritually. And that's going to help us if we fix that. You see, you need to set some goals. Boy, I tell you, you need to set some goals. I need to set some goals. Goals is hard to do after you set them. Y'all ever made a New Year's resolution, you know, and set goals? Boy, I tell you what, I went and had my bypass surgery, and I was going to walk. I said, you need to walk, you need to exercise. Me and George, we invested, I don't know how much money in all those there exercise equipment, and I ain't never seen none of them wore out in my life. All of them look like brand new when you get rid of them. Y'all notice that? I've been to yard sales. If you ever want to see anything new, you go to a yard sale, and it'll be exercise equipment. I guarantee it won't be rusted up or wore out or any new parts renewed on it. It'll look like it's brand new if it's 10 years old. We set goals that we was going to go by. Man, we was going to exercise. Whew, that's too much work. That goal didn't last very long. But I need to set some physical goals over my life, and some of us do too, do we not? We need some physical goals set in our life because we don't need to be drifting. A lot of us probably need to exercise, set some spiritual goals and exercise in our life. But also, you need some financial goals. I've met some financial goals I've had. I've set some financial goals, but you need to set some financial goals. But mostly, you know what? You need to set some spiritual goals. Now, that's most important. The most important that you set some spiritual goals, maybe that you're going to pray more this year than you prayed last year. You know, more than I'm going to decide that I'm going to read more this year than I read last year in my Bible. Maybe that you want to give more to the mission that you gave last year or the year before. Maybe, you know what, you just decide that you're going to start calling people and you know, and start giving them cards and phone calls. And maybe you just decide that you're going to start helping others. You may set some goals in your life. There's plenty of spiritual goals that we need to set. And we need to set some goals, and we need some goals for our church, and we need goals for our life. You need goals for your family. We need goals, amen? Thank you. That didn't cost you nothing. All right. But you see, determine a focus discipline also now. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Direction without discipline, you know, is just a joke on our part. See, because we can set goals and we have a direction to go to with our exercise and equipment. We set goals and we got direction and we make decisions. But you see, like I said, it's just a joke. I ain't going to do it. I set my goals to exercise and all that equipment. But shoot, after about 10 minutes, I don't think it's worth it. But we need to do it, don't we? But I don't do it. So I'm telling you, we set this direction in our life to go by. We have discipline in our life. But I'm going to tell you what, if we don't have a close discipline, it's not going to do us any good. You start off walking. I was going to start walking. I walk around the block. I'm going to start walking. That didn't last very long or many days. I quit walking. I bought me a golf cart. So you see what I'm telling you? That's the way it is with our spiritual life also. Is that not? The same way we have in our spiritual life. It happens that same way. You know, we need this discipline. I just don't have this discipline I should. And we should be very careful now because if you don't, we say we won't get to the harbor. We might land up on the rocks. And we need to set this discipline and do this discipline. You know, last time I was in a dentist's office, I was reading an article that says you don't have to floss all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep. I thought about that, you see. There's some things that we need to think about. What you want to keep. You want to keep your health. You want to keep your spiritual status. You need to be careful. Ask the question. You know, that's the question. What if we, well, how can we escape if we elect this? Angel couldn't even answer that. Salvation. Determine a focused discipline. You know, great is the concept of salvation, conception of salvation. How shall we elect if we, this great salvation, if we let this slip? Spoken by the Lord, you see, concerning this great thing, because it was by the Lord. It weren't by Congress. Aren't you glad of the president? It was by God. Great, so many ways. I just want to, in a narrative of time here, I just want to skip on down where it says great in cost. I read verse 9 of the same chapter. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, great in its cost for salvation. We have people that's real estate agents. We have people that does this for a living. And they assess the value of property and the value of property. What is the key and how they evaluate the price of property? And one real estate man says there's a key. A lot of them will tell you it's location, location, location. But this man says, no, that's not the key. The key is it's what a person is willing to pay for that property. Not what you paid for it, not what the county taxes says it's worth, not what the state says it's worth, not what the blue book says it's worth, but what somebody is willing to pay for that piece of property. That's the true value of it. Jesus Christ was willing to pay for this property. What? With his life. I am a very, very valuable person. Oh, you bragging on yourself? No, I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm bragging on Jesus. Because I was valuable enough. He thought I was. He knew I was. That he was willing to die on the agony of the cross, looking direct through history and to a person named I.B. Boyette. I was very, very valuable, and I am valuable because of who he is. And you are a very, very valuable person because Jesus Christ was willing to pay that great price for you to have salvation. That's how much you're worth. Great in its cost. And the great in its contents. I won't even go into that because we're running out of time. I wanted to get to the part, Hebrews chapter 6, 19, 20, where it says, you know that, let me read these anyway. Which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that which within, which entered into within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus Christ, made a high priest forever after order of Melchizedek. It tells that Jesus Christ is went into that harbor that I'm telling you about. And we got assurance that we're going into that harbor. But don't let it slip. He's guaranteed us that. Don't wind up on the rocks. You're going, but you see there's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of places. There's danger, danger, danger of drifting. And it's talking about the saved. Don't let this neglect the salvation. You've got to have something before you neglect it. Because it's talking about the saved people. It's not talking to the lost. It's talking about the saved. But also to the lost. If they neglect accepting it, there is no more repentance. Remember, if they neglect the salvation. But we that already have it, we can also neglect it. There's a many, many, many Christians is not living up to their victory in Christ Jesus. And they're neglected and they're floating away. We have something we might put on this time. We're fixing to close in prayer. And I didn't quite get finished. And I said I weren't going to take a couple of verses where I could get finished tonight. But you know why I am. I'm talking too much. But as we come to the end of the service, be sure to pray for these people that I said. Make a decision tonight. You know, make a goal. There's some people that you need to talk to and I need to talk to that I might need to go. Some goals that we need to make for our church. As we bow for a silent prayer for just a moment. Father, if you draw us a picture tonight through your holy word, a picture of life.